Book of St. Matthew's in the 13th chapter. Now I want you to notice a number of things that he says here while I'm reading. The 13th chapter, the 14th verse, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Notice this 47th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
I'd like to say a few things tonight, if I can. I don't really know just exactly where that we'll go with our thoughts tonight, because there's so many multiplied things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know just exactly where to start, in that Jesus tells us that we're dull of hearing. Today, as we talked a little bit over in Brother Atlas' office, we shared a few things with the brethren. We got into some real deep things, and would have gotten maybe even deeper if we had continued on with our speech. But after a while, we stopped, and I felt like that we had gone far enough with it. Might have went just a little bit too far, because sometimes it's hard to understand when the Spirit of God is speaking. How many of you understand that God speaks in parables? Here I read to you where He kept speaking to the people in parables. The Bible said, without a parable spake He not unto the people. God being a spirit, there is no other way that He can express Himself to us except that it be in a parabolic way. That is to say, if God is the invisible spirit, then everything in the world that is tangible, or that which we can see, that being an expression of God, in that God has created all things, it makes God's expression parabolic. In other words, every natural thing conveys God because it is the act of God. And in that it is the act of God, then it conveys God to our human intelligence. And that makes it a parabolic expression, in that we cannot see beyond it except through spiritual eyes or by spiritual means. So then God is a spirit. Without a parable spake He not unto the people. As He tried to express the kingdom of God, knowing that the people were dull of hearing, He would take some natural thing in the world. Maybe it would be a diver that was diving for pearls. And He would break that down into a spiritual application, that they might see that that was a natural or a typical thing that was pointing to some spiritual thing out yonder in another world. He would take the fields of corn. He would take the harvest. And He would break it down to let them know that it was a type and a shadow, or it was some allegoric thing that was pointing to another world, to tell us about something spiritual, that there was a spiritual field, a spiritual seed, a spiritual harvest, and there were spiritual people, or that is angelic beings, that would come someday together that harvest. A spiritual thing, that was what God was trying to get over to the people. Today God is still trying to get over something spiritual to the people. But He tells us that we're dull of hearing. We understand natural things. Natural things can be understood. But it takes the mind of God to understand spiritual things. I can understand something natural if you tell me. As a man, I can do that. But it takes God within me to be able to understand something spiritual. For as a man, I cannot understand spiritual things. That's why the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God without faith. That we've got to walk in the Spirit if we please God. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we cannot please God. Have you follow me? You understand what I'm saying? Now, so then, we have have got to be spiritual if we're going to understand spiritual things. We cannot understand heavenly things in a natural mind. There's no way you can do it. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. That's why that I know that the churches of today and the great evangelical moves of today, I know that they're not getting the things of God. They can't possibly get the things of God because they're not spiritual. They're not born again. Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals. You can't be a church member and get the things of God. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. You could belong to a Holy Church or a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Catholic church. It wouldn't make any difference what church you belong to. If you're not spiritual, you cannot get the things of God. You cannot go to college and get the things of God. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. You might be a great man, a brilliant man, very smart, but you cannot get the things of God. You do not get the things of God in college. You cannot read the Bible and get the things of God. There is no way. There's people that have read the Bible hundreds of times. There's people that have photostatic minds that can quote the Bible practically all the way through. But they still don't have the things of God. You understand what I'm saying? They still don't have the things of God because they are not spiritual. You have to be spiritual to get the things of God. When Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals, he was simply telling us that there is no possible way to get a hold of invisible things by your natural mind. The Bible tells us that God has made these things abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or even think. No matter what I think, no matter what I ask, no matter what I believe, I cannot get to the things of God. I can be ever so smart. I can be ever so intelligent. I can pray from now on. I can fast from now on. That still doesn't give me the things of God. I could fast for 50 days. That would not make me spiritual. I could pray from now until time Jesus come. That would not make me spiritual. I've got to be spiritual. The way I get spiritual is I've got to contact God through humility, through love, through faith, through true worship, and become one with God in my spirit, and His Spirit begins to make communication, and then I begin to love God. God begins to love me, and I become a spiritual person. We begin to have communication. God loves me, and I love Him. I worship God. Paul said we're to worship God in spirit because God is the spirit of holiness. If I am to have fellowship with God, the first thing I've got to do is to know who God is. I've got to know what God is. What kind of God? How can I worship something that I don't know about? When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he said, "Woman, you don't know what you worship." The woman was trying to convince the Lord that she worshiped God. Said, our father Jacob gave us this well. And said, we are commanded of God to go over here and worship in the mountains. But Jesus said, woman, you don't know what you worship. You've got the Old Testament. You've got the Word. You've got the printed page. You've got Moses. But Jesus said, that is not the way to worship God. He said, the time cometh, woman. And he said, the time now is, even while I'm talking to you, that true worshipers shall worship God in spirit. For God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. You can't worship God by going to church. You can't worship God by reading the Bible. You can't worship God by paying tithe. You worship God in spirit. In the Old Testament, they went to church. In the Old Testament, they had the scriptures read to them every day. In the Old Testament, the Bible said they fasted and they prayed. But when it come to worshiping God, God said, away with it. He said, I'm sick of your solemn assemblies. God is the Spirit. We are a habitation for God. Our bodies is made a temple for God. And God wants to come into our hearts, come into our lives and live inside of us and walk inside of us. And He wants to communicate with us. And He wants to control our thoughts and our minds. The Bible tells us that you're bought with a price. That we should glorify God in our spirits. God didn't call me and tell me that I was a Christian, that I could go to heaven and all I had to do now was to go out and do whatever I want to. Go out and make $1 million. Go out and be a ball player. Go out and be a boxer. Go out and be some big businessman. God never told me to do that. God told me to live a simple, down-to-earth life. Seek the kingdom of God and He'd supply all of my needs. He told me to dedicate my life to Him. That I'm to think holy, to talk holy, to walk holy. To be like God, to be born of God's Spirit. How can I be a Christian when I've never been born of the Spirit? I thank God I have been born of the Spirit. How could I serve God when I don't know who God is? I thank God that I do know who God is. But Jesus said to the woman, said, you don't know what you worship. For God is a Spirit. And they that worship God must worship God in spirit. Folks, listen. When you resent, when you find fault, when you gossip, when you backbite, when you hate your neighbor and find fault with your neighbor, you're not serving God. You can't be a Christian and have thoughts in your mind and thoughts in your heart against your fellow man. That's impossible. If you've got one thought, not two, but just one thought against any living human being on the face of the earth, you are on your way to hell. I can't change it. Your preacher can't change it. Your neighbors can't change it. Your prayers can't change it. Nothing can change it. You've got to get that thought out of your heart. Did you know the Bible tells us that if you've got one thing against your brother, that when you come to the altar of God, that God will not accept your prayer? He tells us that if we've got any cross with our brother, or even one alt against our brother, against our wife, against our children, against our neighbor, that when we come to the altars of God, that He will not receive our prayer. But He said, go thy way and be reconciled to thy brother. And then come to God and offer your gift to God. Then God will receive it. So then we've got to be a people without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I can't sit around and think on the things of the world. Sit under a television and watch television shows. Listen to the radio and listen to the worldliness. And talk to people about worldly things. And the things of the world and the ball games. And the sports and the frolics of the world. I can't do that and be a Christian. That's not a Christian. The Bible said the Christian meditates in the laws of God day and night. Said he keeps his mind continually stayed on God. And God gives him perfect peace. To be a Christian, he tells me my conversation must be holy. My conversation must be in heaven. It can't be on the earth. I must think about heavenly things, talk about heavenly things. My fellowship must be with holy people. For evil communication corrupt good manners. I can't fellowship the world and talk to the world and be a Christian. That can't be. That's why I tell you the truth. Because someday when you press your dying pillar, your religion might be good now. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you go to die, you will go to hell. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what you've been told about it. The Bible said you will go to hell. Now, I want to say this again. There is no faith. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. You say, I believe. That doesn't mean anything because you say, I believe. Mothers believe when they throw their babies to the crocodiles. Indian, heathens, people across the world, they believe. And yet they feed their babies to devils and crocodiles, to lions, snakes. I've seen pictures where they throw them in the snake pit. But do you believe God is going to have mercy on those people and them throwing their babies to the crocodiles just because they believe that's right? No, not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. In the Old Testament, when they fed, they took their babies and they threw their babies into the flames. The Bible said God was so angry with them, He said, someday I'll remember you. He said, for you took those babies and you throw them into the fire. He said, but no such thoughts ever entered into my heart or my mind. And said, because you've done it, said, someday I will call this the valley of blood. I'll make the blood run up to the horse's bridle. While we were over in Israel, Betty and I, when we made the trip this time, I looked and there was the valley. There was the place that they'd uncovered where the Valley of Hinnom. That was the place where they had taken and burned those babies there many long years ago. And the thoughts and the scriptures came back to my mind of what God said, someday you'll call it the Valley of Blood. Folks, the Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. Don't you ever forget that someday God is going to unravel your lives. And God is going to judge the secrets of your heart. And every thought that you've ever thought, every word that you've ever spoken, every deed that you've ever done is going to come into focus before God. Whether you said it in secret, whether you said it in public, whether you thought it in the secrecy of your heart, in your mind. When we stand there before God, we're going to have to be spotless. So then He said, woman, you don't know what you worship. You don't know what you worship. Now I want you to listen tonight. This is not a deep revelation. This is not a deep mystery, but yet it's too deep for some people to obey it. This is a simple, down-to-earth conversation and a talk with you. Because, folks, we're getting near the judgment. And we're getting near the rapture. And something has got to be done. Some of you that's supposed to be so deep in revelation and supposed to be going on with God, you're not even living a holy life. You're not even living an overcoming life. You're still taking part in the things of the world. Let me tell you something, folks. You cannot reason in your mind and reason your way under salvation. There is no way that you yourself can get salvation. I remind you again, the Bible said that Esau sought salvation. Esau came and prayed for salvation. The Bible said he cried and asked for salvation. But the Bible said he never did receive salvation. For God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But the Bible said Esau sought God. The Bible said he sought repentance with bitter tears. But he found no place of repentance. So the theory that just because you weep, God's going to save you. Just because you're honest in heart, God's going to save you. That's a theory. That doesn't mean anything. There is only one salvation. And that salvation is according to the plan of God. When you hear the Word of God preached and you believe on the Word of God, and your faith in the Word of God saves you. What does the Word of God tell us? It says repent of your sins. That's the first thing it tells us. The first thing is to repent. The Bible said, lest you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Every one of you has got to repent. When they stood on the day of Pentecost, they said, what can we do? Peter said, repent. That's one thing. The next thing he said for you to do was to be baptized in water. And that, not any way. Any way won't do. You may think it will do. But faith in the Word is what saves you. And the Word says, in the name of Jesus. There is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved except the name Jesus, for there is salvation in none other name. Now I bear your record here tonight, and there's a number of you here. If you've not been baptized in water by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, you are wrong. You say, but I'm all right. No, you're not all right. Somebody said, my preacher said I was. Your preacher is a liar. And if you'll bring him over here, I'll tell him he's a liar. Not only is he a liar, but he'll go to hell and you'll go to hell with him. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And God's word tells us to do this. If you have not been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you've not been baptized according to God's word. And your faith is in vain. For there is no other faith except faith in the word. The Bible tells us that faith in the word is manifest by what we do. The Bible tells us the child is known by his doing. My faith in God's word is proved by what I do. When I do what God tells me to do, then I am a believer. I have proved my faith in God. The Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. So then, I must worship God. What is God? Jesus said, woman, you don't know what you worship. You are a religious woman, but that's no good. Since you've got to worship God in spirit, then who is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word still is God. And he tells me to preach the Word, and your faith in the Word, your faith in God, is your spirit worshiping his spirit? For he said, my words are spirit. God is the word spirit. And he tells us when the minister stands to preach that it is not the minister speaking, but it is the word that's coming forth in the form of a voice. For it is not him that speaketh, but it is God that speaketh. And that he's speaking from within his temple. He's speaking from within his temple. And he said, let all of the world keep silent while he's speaking. For it is not the man that speaketh, but it is God that speaketh. You don't know what you worship. He said, for God is a spirit. The time cometh, he said, and now is. We're living in the day, the change, and the new thing, Jesus said. Now is the hour that we worship God in spirit. We worship God in truth. I get in here and I worship God. I don't just say hallelujah, amen, glory to God. I see people jump up and shout and speak in tongues, say hallelujah and glory to God and prophesy and do all kind of things. But a lot of times they're not even in the spirit. It's just a fleshly emotion. Now I know there is people that speak in tongues, it's in the spirit. There's people that prophesy, that's in the spirit. There's people that shout, that's in the spirit. There's people that pray. The Bible said pray in the spirit. There's people that fast in the spirit. But there's also what the Bible calls will worship. I want you to listen close tonight. A simple little message. Jesus spoke of will worship. There's people that go to church because they will themselves to go to the house of God. They don't have any real desire to go to the house of God. They don't have any real interest in the house of God. They don't have a burning passion down here for lost souls and have a joy that causes them to go to the house of God. They go to the house of God because their intelligence tells them that they need to go to church because it's the right thing to do. And they feel like that God has saved them because of that. The Bible calls that will worship. They will themselves to go to church. They will themselves to pray. They will themselves to pay tithe. They will themselves to be in the fellowship in the little society of the world. But it doesn't profit them one thing. The Bible tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Not a will worship. Not an intellectual will worship. But we have an unction which is a desire. We have a burning desire. We have something that compels us. Paul said, the love of God constrains me. And I walk in the ways of God. He said, in that day I will take out the heart of stone. And I will place within you a heart of flesh. And write my laws upon the table of your heart. And you'll delight to walk in my ways. You follow me? So then, we do not go to church because we will ourselves to go to church. We have an unction from the Holy One. There is something drawing us to the house of God. There is something that's pulling us to the house of God. There is something that makes me have a joy to do something for God. My cup runs over. I have an inspiration. I have something driving me, Brother Lyman. I have something that makes me delight in God. For over 20 long years I've served God. And today I have more joy in serving God than I've ever had in my life. I love to serve God. I love to go to the house of God. I love to read the Bible. I love to do something for Christ. I'd rather do without food on my table and give to some poor person than to have food on my table and eat. It's more joy to me. It is more joy for my brother to wear a new pair of shoes than for me to wear it. I get more joy in seeing a brother have a new car than me have a new car. There's something that thrills me more about it for him to have it. I get a joy in doing that. I have a joy in serving God. It's a joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. For serving God is joy and peace, righteousness and the Holy Ghost. How can you serve God when you don't even have the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, but I have the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike. How could you have the Holy Ghost? You don't even know who He is and what He is. Somebody said, but I know what the Holy Ghost is. Then what is the Holy Ghost? The Bible tells us He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said you worship God in spirit and in truth. Is that right? Now how do you do that? When John went to baptize Jesus, what did he say? Getting back to the baptizing. Somebody said, I don't have anything to do with it. But it does. John went to baptize Jesus. John said, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. But Jesus said, suffer to be so, John. For it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Is that right? It becometh us, John, to obey what God said do. It's not what you think about it. Why, that seems so out of place. Somebody would say, you mean a man baptizing God? We know that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. You mean a man going to baptize God? Somebody would say, now look here, Brother Pike, God baptizes men. Men don't baptize God. But see, it wasn't the way it looked. It wasn't what they thought about it. It was what God's Word said was to be done. God told John to do that, and He told Jesus to be subject to John so John could do it. So then how do you worship God in truth? How do you worship God in spirit? How do you worship God in righteousness? By doing what God tells you to do. When does God tell you to do it? Through the mouth of the ministry, according to the Word of God. Now somebody said, well, that be true. Brother Pike, then that means any minister tells me. It certainly does not, because it doesn't mean that every minister is of God. You say, then how can I tell? The Word of God. The Word of God. Somebody said, well, I heard the preacher quote such and such, but that's not sufficient. I might get up here and quote a passage of Scripture, but that's not enough. But when I quote the Word, precept upon precept, and line upon line, and make it sound like what God said it was. I can take it out of its setting and say anything I want to with it. I can use a little bit over here and a little bit over yonder, but that's not the way God said it. Now, how can I worship God in spirit? The Bible tells us that God is the Spirit of holiness. Is that right? Somebody said, well, the Pope is His holiness. Catholic people say the Pope is His holiness. The Pope is not His holiness. There's only one His holiness. That's God. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the only one. So then it is the Holy Ghost that is holy. It is the Holy Ghost that is His holiness. Jesus is His holiness. And the Bible says that God is the Spirit of holiness. There is no other God except the Spirit of holiness. There is not some other God but some other Spirit. There is but one Spirit. That's the Spirit of holiness. And holiness is God, and God is holiness. And we worship that Spirit of holiness by letting it manifest itself in us in word and in deed and in thought. You follow me? We are under divine contract with God by Calvary that my body is to manifest the fruits of holiness. Paul said you have your fruits under holiness. The fruits of the Spirit is holiness. Because the tree has a life that's holiness. The spirit and nature of the tree is holiness. Therefore, the fruits is holiness. If we have any other kind of fruits, Jesus said, you know the tree by the fruit. If it is worldly desire, worldly thought, worldly ambition, worldly fruits, then it is a worldly tree. And the Bible said the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Cut it down. Throw it in the fire. Are you listening to me now? The Jews were very religious, but they didn't have any fruits under holiness. Now you say, how do you get that? They prayed, they fasted, and all them things. But the Bible said they did not have their fruits under holiness. Because Jesus spoke a parable to him. He said, all these years I come looking for fruit. I didn't find any. So I said, what must I do? Said the master said, cut it down. Cut it down. Israel, you've never borne any fruits. I've come to you year after year. But Israel, you've never lived holy. He said, I didn't choose you because you were the holy people. Nor a great people. But rather to make a name for myself. And the very thing I chose, you rejected it. Ain't that the way it is in the world? God didn't choose the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals because they're some great special people. But to make a name for himself. And they refused the name Jesus. The very thing he called them for. So then he said, Israel, you've not brought forth fruit. What must I do? He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll lay the axe to the root of the tree. I'll send John the Baptist. He said, I'll cut the tree down. Wasn't that what he said? He said, I've come all these many years. I've never found any fruit on it. He said, I'm going to call for John the Baptist and put an axe in his hand and let him cut the tree down. And so then when they came, Brother John came out of the wilderness and they said, what are you preaching? He said, I'm preaching that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And he cut it down. And brother, when he cut it down, the Jews were cast out of the presence of God. And they went away in darkness and they've never come back into the presence of God even until today. But let me tell you something, folks. The middle of this year as I live before God, God's going to lay the axe to the root of the tree of the Gentile church. I'll watch and see if he don't do it. God's got an axeman in the land somewhere. He's got a fellow with an axe in his hand somewhere. And this year, God is going to lay the axe to the root of the tree. And he's going to cut America down. He's going to cut the Gentile people down. It's coming. It's coming. The Old Testament said, cut it down. Let seven times pass over it and then it'll grow again. The days of Nebuchadnezzar, speaking of the Jewish church. God cut it down at Calvary to let the seven church ages pass over it. That was typical of the tribulation period. 7 years of tribulation. Said, don't do away with the stump. Just cut it down. And then after the tribulation period, the millennium will come and that tree will come back up. This time it will bear fruits unto wholeness. So then he said, woman, you don't know what you worship. I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. Said, you don't know what you worship. You don't know what you worship. God is the spirit of holiness. Do you worship God in the beauty of holiness? Do you serve God in the spirit of holiness? Is your fruits unto holiness? Do you dress holy? Do you look holy? Do you talk holy? The Bible said, add godliness unto your spirit. Experience with God. Add godliness unto it. Add virtue unto it. Add faith unto it. Add patience unto it. Long suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. All of these are the lovely fruits of holiness. Do you do that? Be virtuous. Don't talk to people about worldly things. Don't let it go on your home. Don't watch worldly things, whether it's in the newspaper, the magazine, or wherever. Don't let your spirit feed on it. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Don't do that. But think on something holy. Don't have your mind on the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust and the world and all of it passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me say this in closing tonight. I mentioned this the other day because it's complicated to people. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you say don't love the world. You say don't love the world. You say don't love the world. But we're in the world and the world is all around us. And you say don't love the world. And they say, but my preacher said, love the world. Why? Said, because God so loved the world. And if God so loved the world and we're going to be like God, then we should so love the world. Let me tell you, Satan is a cunning fella. And the Bible said the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves by the renewing of their mind into ministers of light, which is the word, which is called the word of light. Satan himself, through the means of grace, being able to get into the church through grace because of the blood atonement, in this day of grace, living in the human bodies of perversion, said he himself by that means has transformed himself into an angel of light. That is, he can go into the presence of God like he did in the days of Job by the means of grace. But when he said, when it said that God so loved the world, I want to remind you again. He so loved the world as it was in the days when he created it. In its garden experience, when Adam and Eve was free from sin, when it was a holy place to live in, a righteous, pure, godly place where God walked, he so loved the world the way that he created it, the way that he made it. He so loved it that when it fell into the hands of Satan and fell into sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to spill his blood at Calvary to redeem it from the evil condition of Satan and bring it back into the same condition it was in the garden by restoring it and bringing it to what we refer to as the 1,000 years millennium with God, which is the new earth and the new world to come. Not the new earth, but the restored. He so loved it in that condition that he wants to redeem it from this condition. And he tells us that we are not to love it in this condition. Love not the world in this condition. It's under the curse. Don't love it. Don't be partakers of it. For it's going to pass away. But love God. Love the things of God. Love righteousness. And someday we can enjoy the world as Adam and Eve did and love the world when it's redeemed from its curse. Whatever you get in this world that God gives you, seek the kingdom, all these other things will be added. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health. Seek the kingdom, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get riches. All of these things he'll give to you, but you're to sanctify them to God. You're to honor God with your substance. You're to bless God with it. You're to bless each other. And whatever God gives you, bless God with it. And God will honor it. He will lift the curse from the part that he gives you. But don't go out there messing with the world and the frolics of the world. God isn't going to lift the curse off of it. Because it's under the curse. And it will remain under the curse until sin is taken away. What God wants you to have, he'll give you. All right, I want you to stand with me. Simple little message on salvation. And yet there's nothing simple about God in the sense that the mystery of God is great. And yet it's simple in that it's called the simplicity of Christ. Are you serving the Lord tonight? The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. See if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. You say, what is faith, Brother Pye? By the hearing of the word. The only faith there is believing in the word. Examine yourself and see if you're believing in what the word said, or if you're believing in what you think, or believing in what you felt, or believing in what somebody told you, or believing in the tradition of the elders. Examine yourself and see what you believe in. If you believe in the word, then you're in the faith. Somebody said, well, I believe in the Bible. That's not enough to say that you believe in the Bible. Everybody could say they believed in the Bible and not know one lick of the Bible. Not to know one word of the Bible. Not to know one thing about the Bible. That's not sufficient. You've got to know what the Word said, and that part that you know, you've got to believe. You've got to know about a certain part of the Bible. You've got to hear it, understand it, and believe it. That's the only way you can believe in the Bible. You just say, well, I believe in the Bible. Well, anybody could say that. The devil could say that. Trembles every time he thinks about it. So then, believing the Bible don't mean you're a Christian. I mean, in that kind of way. You've got to really believe what the Bible says, and you've got to know what it says. And you've got to prove you're believing by what it tells you to do in doing it. You understand? When it tells you to do something, you've got to do it. Ananias said, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, well, the Bible said it shall come to pass, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know it does. I know it does. Somebody said, well, I didn't call on the name of the Lord. But that wasn't the way the Bible said you call on the name of the Lord. He said, Paul, repent of your sins, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins. That's the way you call on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, well, I call on it. No, no. Somebody say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, if I was going to call on you, I'd call on you for something. You understand? If I called on you, I'd say, be ready now, because I'm going to need you, and I'm going to call on you. Then I'm calling on you to do something. Is that right? And when you call on the name of the Lord, you're calling on the name of the Lord to do something for you. And that is for you to be buried into his death, to take away your sins and resurrected in new life. And that through the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, well, don't you believe, Brother Pike, if I call upon the name of the Lord in prayer, that God will save me? Well, he may and he may not. Esau did, but he wasn't saved. He cried, but he wasn't saved. If you call on the name of the Lord according to the word of God, the Bible said, not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, shall be saved. That means some will call on him and won't be saved. They say, Lord, didn't we do many great things in your name? He said, you're workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Then calling on the name of the Lord is altogether different. Can we call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? Yes. If I am the type of person that I will go down to the altar and I will call on the name of Jesus, or if I stand in the audience, or if I'm riding down the road, it doesn't make any difference. I might be in the cotton field. I don't have to be in church. And I call upon the name of the Lord. I get under conviction. I get godly sorrowful of my sins. I'm willing to repent and turn away from my evils. And I call on the name of the Lord. Will he save me? He certainly will save me. If I am really calling on God, if I'm really honest and sincere with Jesus. But when he saves me, you know what will happen to me? You can tell the difference between a saved person and a person that's making believe. Three kind of believers: unbelievers, make believers, and believers. You can tell the difference between a make believer and a believer. An unbeliever too. When you really repent, God really comes into your heart, you receive his spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. What does the Holy Ghost do? It guides you into all truth and all righteousness. Is that right? When you receive his spirit, it guides you into truth and righteousness. The Bible said, you know the tree by the fruit it bears. And it says, when the Holy Ghost is come, he will testify of the name Jesus, me. And he will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And what is truth and righteousness? Jesus said to be baptized, John, is to obey truth and righteousness. How? Said he baptized under repentance, saying, believe on the name Jesus. The upper coast of Ephesus, what did they do? Somebody said, well, as long as you're baptized, Brother Pike, that's all right. But that wasn't enough. Just being baptized, there's no remission of sin in the water. Up at the upper coast of Ephesus, 19th chapter of Acts, what did he do? They had been baptized in the same river that John had baptized Jesus in. The same person had baptized him. Was that sufficient? It was not sufficient. Why? Somebody would say, well, why was it sufficient for Jesus when John baptized him? And then John baptized the others, and it wasn't sufficient for them. You know why? What the difference was? Jesus was baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you're a fanatic. No, I'm not. Somebody said, well, Jesus didn't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The Bible teaches that he did. He was the beginning of it. Why would he have to be baptized that way? Because the name Jesus is the name of the Heavenly Father. It's the family name. I come in my Father's name. When he was baptized, he was Jesus. That was sufficient. He went down in Jesus' name. He came up in Jesus' name because it said his name should be called Jesus. Is that right? And every other person has to do that. Though John baptized other people, it wasn't sufficient. But said he baptized them in the name, or baptized them unto repentance, saying, believe on the name Jesus, it's coming later. When the name Jesus come later and the revelation come to Paul, he re-baptized them. Though they'd been baptized in the water, it wasn't sufficient. He re-baptized them in the name of Jesus. They received the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Somebody said, well, I'll just take my chance. Well, that's your privilege. We love you just as much. You take your chance. You take your chance. Say, well, it was good enough for Grandpa. It was good enough for Grandma. It's good enough for me. Take your chance. But I tell you in Jesus' name tonight, you will go to hell. You may take your chance. And you may be so sure that your grandparents made it. Your loved ones made it. But as I live, you'll go to hell. So take your chance. But it won't be but a few seconds after you breathe your last breath that you'll be in hell because of unbelief. He cut them off in the wilderness because of unbelief. And that belief is believing in the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And you believe in the Word of God and you prove that believing by obeying it. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now, sweet Savior. Oh, how I need thee. I have a lot of people to come to me. They say, Brother Pike, if you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus, then what about all those people many long years ago that died before the name of Jesus ever come? What about them? Did you know that every one of them that died, now listen real close, from the time of Adam, every one of them that died that was not baptized unto Jesus or pointed unto Jesus was lost? Did you know that? Did you know even in the days of Noah, when Noah preached that he pointed them unto the coming Messiah by revelation? Did you know the Bible said all of them that went through the Red Sea, that the Bible teaches that was a baptism, and Paul said they were baptized in the Red Sea unto Jesus? When John baptized, he baptized them unto Jesus, saying, he that is to come. And everything pointed to Jesus. And everyone that didn't receive that according to the Bible was lost, was cut off. Those that refused. And did you know that those that went down to the heart of the earth, the Bible said that they could not be made perfect without us? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think those people went on to heaven? They certainly did not. You mean to tell me that all them people that wasn't baptized in Jesus' name did not go to heaven? They absolutely did not. The Bible bears record that they did not go to heaven. Then you say, where did they go to? The Bible said they could not be made perfect without us. They died under the law, but they could not be made perfect without us. And when Jesus Christ came, Peter stood up and said, this is the promise unto Abraham, the promised seed. And Jesus went down into the heart of the earth and preached to the people or the souls in prison, and they came out from their lots. He said, Daniel, you're resting your lot. They came out from their lot when Jesus preached to them and then went into the glory world. You believe that? That is Bible. They could not be resurrected from the dead till Jesus came, because there was no resurrection from the dead until Jesus come. Somebody say, oh, I'm smarter than that. I remember when Elijah raised the dead. I remember when he called the dead back. It is true that the dead was called back by the Spirit of God, because the Bible said the Holy Ghost was upon them. And they spake as the Holy Ghost moved them. And the Holy Ghost, long before Pentecost, was with those prophets. And those prophets said, we come in the name of the Lord. And David, though he didn't even know what the name of the Lord was, he said to Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Is that right? Always in the name of the Lord. They rest in their lot. They laid there until Jesus resurrected them. And then the Bible said that he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the blood. Is that right? But they could not be perfected without us. They could not be made perfect without us. So then there is no salvation except in the name Jesus. There's never been any salvation except in the name of Jesus. There will never be in any other way except the name Jesus. Let me say this, and I'm going to change the order of the service a little. Salvation is in his name. None other name. The name Jesus. None other name. Never has anybody been saved any other way. Those in the dark age that did not know. Most of them did, because Pentecost had already come. But those beyond Calvary, those people back beyond Calvary, they escaped by believing in the Lord, in that to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. The servant that knew to do his Lord's will and didn't do it shall be beaten with many stripes. God didn't give them much. He didn't require much. But even then they couldn't get into heaven, because the door in heaven had never been made. They had to rest in their lot until the day the door was opened in heaven at Calvary. Then they came up out of the graves and went into that world. You understand what I'm saying? So folks, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. It's got to be in the name of Jesus. You can't get by the way that they did, because the name of Jesus is here now. And you know it, and you've heard it, and it's required of you. Whatever God has given, he requires it. To whom much is given, much is required. He cut the Jews off at Calvary, kept them in ignorance so he could preserve them unto this day. Alright. These want to be prayed for tonight. I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want to step down here and lay hands on them and ask God to do something for them tonight, to give them a special touch. Much sorrow is in the world today. Many heartaches. There's only one escape. That's through Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. When the Word comes to you, don't take it lightly. Don't be an unbeliever. Do whatever it tells you to do. Then you'll be happy. Faith will save you. The fear of God will save you. Hallelujah. Father, touch these little children as I lay hands on them tonight. Pray in Jesus' name that you would do it. God, as I lay hands on Willie tonight, Father, bless Willie tonight. Watch over his little family. I perceive, Lord, that one of the reasons that he's here tonight as I pick up his spirit, oh God, he and Richard both, Lord, is to be blessed before they start this trip to Humboldt, wanting you to watch over them, wanting you to help them. The name of Jesus, Father, keep them safe. Let them do something for thee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for this young fellow tonight, Brother Floyd's son, I pray in the lovely name of the Holy Child Jesus. Oh God, by thy Spirit tonight, break every yoke off of this young fellow. Heal his little body. Give him a vision. Help him to see the great treasures of God. Oh God, that the beggarly elements of this world are not to be compared with the treasures over yonder. In Jesus' name, touch these little children, Lord, that wait so patiently, hoping that I'll touch them. In Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Richard tonight. Lay a wonderful hand upon him. Keep him and his little family safe as they go yonder to Humboldt and on to Missouri. May they be blessed, God. You said you would bless whoever we bless, but you would curse whoever we curse. We bless them in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, as I pray for Brother Floyd, I pray, oh God, that every troubled God, Lord, that's confronting him may be moved away. The shadows of night may dissolve into nothing, and the sunlight of the radiance of your glory will flood his life, that his vision will transcend this earthly barrier, oh God, and get into the heavenly places. Father, that he might call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, oh God, and be used as a vessel unto honor. I pray that you'd heal his body, forgive his sins, help him not to lean to his own understanding, Father, for you said it's abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Therefore, God, it must be by revelation. It must be revealed by your Spirit. God, I pray in Jesus' name you'd reveal your will to him. Father, bless this young fellow tonight. As I lay hands upon him tonight and pray for him, I pray in the name of Jesus as I feel your great Spirit. Heal this body. Break the yoke. Help him to believe, Jesus. Help him with all of his troubles, problems in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray tonight, Lord, for Sister Floyd. Lord, may the shadows of doubt dissolve into nothing. May thy Spirit, O God, encourage his heart. Heal and save, forgive, lead and guide in the lovely name of Jesus. Touch these children in Jesus' sweet name, Father. Father, touch these children as we lay hands upon them. I ask you to touch him in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, Lord. Bless their little bodies in Jesus' sweet name. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for this sister, I ask you to bless her, Lord, tonight. Watch over them as they go to Humboldt. Heal the body. Keep them safe. Help them to have a vision for God. Help them not to look back into Egypt, Lord, nor to turn back into the land of their kindred in their heart, but let their delight be in the law of the Lord. In it let them meditate. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Touch the little lady tonight as I pray for her. I pray that you would heal her little body in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for my sister tonight. I pray for the healing of her body tonight. May she have guidance. Lord, may she be guided tonight by the great hand of God. May her spirit, O God, be kept by thee tonight. Heal, Jesus. Forgive in your great name. As I pray for this sister, I pray for thy blessings, O God. May thy spirit rest upon her. Forgive her sins. Heal her body. Lead her. And God, if she wants to do a work for thee, may it be so in her life. In Jesus' name. Father, bless the little children. Father, bless my sister tonight as I lay hands upon her. May thy spirit rest upon her in Jesus' name. Father, to heal the body. Bless her and her companion tonight and her family. Heal, Jesus, and watch over them. Lead them in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I pray for James tonight, may every yoke be broken. Heal tonight, Jesus, and forgive. May thy Spirit, O God, stir his faith. I feel his faith moving tonight. May the Holy Spirit enter into his heart. I feel him yielding his heart right now, Father. I feel that yielding, God. Help him to believe. Help him to be humble. Help him to be sincere. Help him to believe with all of his heart. And as the song said, Lord, let him surrender all. Use him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch Sister Lynn tonight as I pray for her in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus. Heal her body. Bring her companion to repentance. God, give her a new vision. Give her new strength in Jesus' name. Bless these little girls in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for this sister, I pray in the name of Jesus. Thy spirit tonight, O God, Lord, would break every yoke. Lord, anoint her, Father, to work for thee. Encourage her and her companion to believe in the name of Jesus. Heal for your glory in Jesus' name. Father, tonight as I pray for Sister Lynn, may thy spirit, the greatness of thy presence tonight, come down. Heal tonight. Break every yoke, Jesus. May thy guidance and thy spirit overshadow Sister Lynn, and may she be led of thy spirit. Remember her mother and daddy tonight. Father, remember her loved ones. Heal and forgive. Lead into salvation in Jesus' name. Father, touch these little children. Touch them in the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Brother Paul, Jesus' name tonight, heal his body. Restore his home. Heal in the name of Jesus. Mighty God of heaven, as I see this heart, Lord Jesus, in the loneliness of this heart, may thy spirit come down in a rich, wonderful way. And a brighter world be in Paul's heart in Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Tommy tonight. May thy great spirit overshadow Tommy. Lift him up and encourage him, O God. May his faith look away to Calvary tonight. Heal and forgive. Bless his home in Jesus' precious name. Fathers, I pray for Brother Darrell tonight. Heal tonight, Jesus. May thy spirit, O God, Lord, go into this heart in a great way. And, oh God, may you be in remembrance of his sister tonight. Oh God, and of his family tonight. Heal and save his family, his mother, his daddy, Lord, his brothers and sisters, Lord, his family. I pray a special blessing tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, as Michael goes forth tomorrow to try to do something for thee, may he be protected. May he be blessed. Hear me, Jesus. Heal, forgive, bless, and protect him. The wonderful name of Jesus. Fathers, I pray for Mitch tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit, O God, in a great way come into Mitch's life. Anoint him for his work. Heal his body. O God, touch him. Help him to have a vision. Faith to look away to Calvary. Forgetting those things that are behind. Pressing forward, oh God, by faith to new horizons in Christ. Fathers, I pray for Bob tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that thy great spirit would be upon Bob. Heal tonight. Bless his little family. Lead him and guide him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch his little lad in Jesus' name. Father, touch these sisters tonight. The wonderful name of Jesus. May thy spirit rest upon them. Heal and forgive. Like a stream running down. Father, Vicky stands here tonight on behalf of my mother. I pray that you will heal. Heal in Jesus' name. Forgive. Bless Vicky and her companion. Their family tonight. I pray in Jesus' name that you would do it. Hallelujah.
Something in my heart, just like a stream.
Sing it again. Oh, there's something in my heart, like a stream running down. Makes me oh so happy as can be. When I think about Jesus, all the